Anguttara Nikaya 9.41 Tapusa Suttang 2 Tapusa Translated from the Pali by Ta-Nisaro Bhikkhu. I have heard that on one occasion the Blessed One was staying among the Malans near a Malan town named Uruvelakappa. Then, early in the morning, the Blessed One, having put on his robes and carrying his bowl and altar robe, went into Uruvelakappa for alms. Having gone into Uruvelakappa for alms, after his meal, on his return from his alms round, he said to Venerable Ananda, "Stay right here, Ananda, while I go into the great wood for the day's abiding." "As you say, Lord," Venerable Ananda responded. Then the Blessed One went into the great wood and sat down at the root of a certain tree for the day's abiding. Then Tapusa, the householder, went to Venerable Ananda, and, on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to Venerable Ananda, "Venerable Ananda, sir, we are householders who indulge in sensuality, delight in sensuality, enjoy sensuality, rejoice in sensuality. For us, indulging in sensuality, delighting in sensuality, enjoying sensuality, rejoicing in sensuality, renunciation seems like a sheer drop-off. Yet I've heard that in this doctrine and discipline, the hearts of the very young monks leap up at renunciation, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So right here is where this doctrine and discipline is contrary to the great mass of people. That is, this issue of renunciation. This calls for a talk, householder. Let's go see the Blessed One. Let's approach him and, on arrival, tell him this matter. However he explains it to us, we will bear it in mind." "As you say, sir," Tapusa, the householder, responded to Venerable Ananda. Then Venerable Ananda, together with Tapusa, the householder, went to the Blessed One, and, on arrival, having bowed down to him, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, he said to the Blessed One, "Tapusa, the householder, here, has said to me, 'Venerable Ananda, sir, we are householders who indulge in sensuality, delight in sensuality, enjoy sensuality, rejoice in sensuality. For us, indulging in sensuality, delighting in sensuality, enjoying sensuality, rejoicing in sensuality, renunciation seems like a sheer drop-off. Yet I've heard that in this doctrine and discipline, the hearts of the very young monks leap up at renunciation, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So right here is where this doctrine and discipline is contrary to the great mass of people, that is, this issue of renunciation." "So it is, Ananda, so it is. Even I myself, before my awakening, when I was still an unawakened bodhisatta, thought, 'Renunciation is good, seclusion is good.' But my heart did not leap up at renunciation, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. The thought occurred to me, what is the cause? What is the reason why my heart doesn't leap at renunciation, doesn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace? Then the thought occurred to me, I have not seen the drawback of sensual pleasures. I have not pursued that theme. I have not understood the reward of renunciation. I have not familiarized myself with it. That is why my heart does not leap up at renunciation, does not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. Then the thought occurred to me, if, having seen the drawback of sensual pleasures, I were to pursue that theme, and if, having understood the reward of renunciation, I were to familiarize myself with it, there is the possibility that my heart would leap up at renunciation, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of sensual pleasures, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of renunciation, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at renunciation, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. Then, quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskillful qualities, I entered and remained in the first jhana, rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal, accompanied by directed thought and evaluation. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with sensuality. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with sensuality that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if, with the stilling of directed thoughts and evaluations, I were to enter and remain in the second jhana, rapture and pleasure born of composure, unification of awareness free from directed thought and evaluation, internal assurance. But my heart did not leap up at being without directed thought, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. The thought occurred to me, what is the cause? What is the reason why my heart does not leap up at being without directed thought, does not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace? Then the thought occurred to me, I have not seen the drawback of directed thought. I have not pursued that theme. I have not understood the reward of being without directed thought. I have not familiarized myself with it. That is why my heart does not leap up at being without directed thought, does not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. Then the thought occurred to me, if, having seen the drawback of directed thought, I were to pursue that theme, and if, having understood the reward of being without directed thought, I were to familiarize myself with it, there is the possibility that my heart would leap up at being without directed thought, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of directed thought, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of being without directed thought, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at being without directed thought, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the stilling of directed thought and evaluations, I entered and remained in the second jhana, rapture and pleasure, born of composure, unification of awareness free from directed thought and evaluation, internal assurance. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with directed thought. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with directed thought that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if, with the fading of rapture, I were to remain in equanimity, mindful and alert, to be physically sensitive to pleasure, and to enter and remain in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare, equanimous and mindful, he has a pleasant abiding. But my heart did not leap up at being without rapture, did not grow confident, steadfast or firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of rapture, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of being without rapture, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at being without rapture, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the fading of rapture, I remained in equanimity, mindful and alert, physically sensitive to pleasure, and entered and remained in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare, equanimous and mindful, he has a pleasant abiding. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with rapture. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with rapture that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if, with the abandoning of pleasure and stress, as with the earlier disappearance of elation and distress, I were to enter and remain in the fourth jhana, purity of equanimity and mindfulness, neither pleasure nor pain. But my heart did not leap up at being without the pleasure of equanimity, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of the pleasure of equanimity, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of neither pleasure nor pain, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at neither pleasure nor pain, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the abandoning of pleasure and stress, as with the earlier disappearance of elation and distress, I entered and remained in the fourth jhana, purity of equanimity and mindfulness, neither pleasure nor pain. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with equanimity. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with equanimity that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if, with the complete transcending of perceptions of physical form, with the disappearance of perceptions of resistance, and not heeding perceptions of diversity, thinking, infinite space, I were to enter and remain in the dimension of the infinitude of space. But my heart did not leap up at the dimension of the infinitude of space, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of forms, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of the dimension of the infinitude of space, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at the dimension of the infinitude of space, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the complete transcending of perceptions of form, with the disappearance of perceptions of resistance, and not heeding perceptions of diversity, perceiving infinite space, I entered and remained in the dimension of the infinitude of space. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with forms. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so the attention to perceptions dealing with forms that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if with the complete transcending of the dimension of the infinitude of space, thinking, infinite consciousness, I were to enter and remain in the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. But my heart did not leap up at the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of the dimension of the infinitude of space, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the complete transcending of the dimension of the infinitude of space, perceiving infinite consciousness, I entered and remained in the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of the infinitude of space. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so the attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of the infinitude of space that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if with the complete transcending of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, thinking, there is nothing, I were to enter and remain in the dimension of nothingness. But my heart did not leap up at the dimension of nothingness, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. So, at a later time, having seen the drawback of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of the dimension of nothingness, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at the dimension of nothingness, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the complete transcending of the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness, perceiving there is nothing, I entered and remained in the dimension of nothingness. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of the infinitude of consciousness that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if I, with the complete transcending of the dimension of nothingness, were to enter and remain in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception? But my heart did not leap up at the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. So at a later time, having seen the drawback of the dimension of nothingness, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the complete transcending of the dimension of nothingness, I entered and remained in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. As I remained there, I was beset with attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of nothingness. That was an affliction for me. Just as pain arises as an affliction for a healthy person, even so, the attention to perceptions dealing with the dimension of nothingness that beset me was an affliction for me. The thought occurred to me, what if I, with the complete transcending of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, were to enter and remain in the cessation of perception and feeling? But my heart did not leap up at the cessation of perception and feeling, did not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. The thought occurred to me, what is the cause? What is the reason why my heart does not leap up at the cessation of perception and feeling, does not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace? Then the thought occurred to me, I have not seen the drawback of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. I have not pursued that theme. I have not understood the reward of the cessation of perception and feeling. I have not familiarized myself with it. That is why my heart does not leap up at the cessation of perception and feeling, does not grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. Then the thought occurred to me, if, having seen the drawback of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, I were to pursue that theme, and if, having understood the reward of the cessation of perception and feeling, I were to familiarize myself with it, there is the possibility that my heart would leap up at the cessation of perception and feeling, grow confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. So, at a later time, having seen the drawback of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, I pursued that theme. Having understood the reward of the cessation of perception and feeling, I familiarized myself with it. My heart leaped up at the cessation of perception and feeling, grew confident, steadfast, and firm, seeing it as peace. With the complete transcending of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, I entered and remained in the cessation of perception and feeling, and as I saw with discernment, the mental fermentations went to their total end. Ananda, as long as I had not attained and emerged from these 9 step-by-step dwelling attainments in forward and backward order in this way, I did not claim to have directly awakened to the right self-awakening, unexcelled in the cosmos with its devas, maras, and brahmas, with its contemplatives and brahmins, its royalty and common people. But as soon as I had attained and emerged from these 9 step-by-step dwelling attainments in forward and backward order in this way, then I did claim to have directly awakened to the right self-awakening, unexcelled in the cosmos, with its devas, maras, and brahmas, with its contemplatives and brahmins, its royalty and common people. Knowledge and vision arose in me. My release is unshakable. This is the last birth. There is now no further becoming. End of Tapusa Suttang.